got it. There we go. Good morning, and in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. A man decided one day to hang up signs above all the mirrors in that building. And some of those messages were, "Why should this company hire you? Are you ready to start your new career today?" The point of the messages was so that the person looking in the mirror would read that sign and examine themselves and make mental corrections. So that way the interview would go wonderful, that the first day of work would be off on the right foot, and they would impress their supervisor and their coworkers. But what would happen if they didn't, you know, pay attention to those signs, failed to examine themselves? Well, the interview may go poorly. They may not get that job. The very first day of their new career, they may get off to the wrong foot, give a bad first impression to their supervisor, to their coworkers, causing conflict and division and extra stress. It might even result in the fact that they may not have a job before their probationary period's over because they just didn't work out. Christians are taught to examine ourselves every single day. And we've already done it once before by confessing our sins to the Father. And once more, we will examine ourselves before we come to the altar for the Lord's Supper. Now, Paul's writing to the Corinthians that they have a major problem. They were suffering from a failure of examining themselves. See, the city of Corinth had a major issue that sounds very familiar today. Their issue was self-promotion. They had it down to an art form in Corinth. In fact, self-promotion even trumped truth and fact. It was more important that the reputation was built up. And the worst thing that could happen to you was that your reputation was destroyed. And we see this today in our movie stars and our athletes, some politicians. But this attitude would creep into the church in Corinth, and it would corrupt the Lord's Supper and the body of Christ. See, the early church would meet in houses because they didn't have buildings such as these. And the bigger the building, the bigger the house, because you had a bigger congregation, well, more likely the richer that person that owned the house was. The richer they were, probably the more self-promotion they did. And they met on a Sunday, which was the first day of the work week. It wasn't until about early 300s when Constantine gave us Sundays off. Sent him a thank you note. But they would go to work, and they would work all day, they would meet in the evening. And by that time, it was near the supper time. Now, they would all meet together. The rich would get together. They'd bring the food and the wine. And what would happen is that they would have a dinner before the poor got there. And they would consume all the food and the wine because the owner of the house was self-promoting himself. He was giving honor to his guest who would return give honor to him. As Paul was saying, some of you go ahead with your own private suppers. As a result, one person remains hungry and the other gets drunk. The major issue is that these people failed to examine themselves. They failed to focus upon God and have an outward focus. Instead, they were focusing on themselves. The owner of the house sacrificed his brothers and sisters in Christ for his own self-promotion. Paul said this was causing divisions, and these divisions are works of sin, such as pride, lust of power, greed, anger. And you can see that there was factions being, it's very easy to assume that there was factions in this congregation. The rich would look down upon the poor and say, "There's no free lunch here. You need to work a little harder. Bring your own food." The poor could react in an anger and bitter way and refuse to have fellowship with the rich anymore. Some might even be envious and turn their outlook to becoming rich, good men of business, and saving every dime that they could to become rich and have that level of prestige. But all they did was look towards the inner self. They failed to examine envying what others had. Today, we can still see works of sin plaguing the church from time to time. We can see it as gossip and grudges and envy. We can see it as prejudice and pride. When we fail to judge ourselves, we begin to judge on certain matters of the church that we ought not to be judging, such as who belongs in the church and who doesn't. We get an idea of the type of people we want, and we start rejecting the people that God calls to us. I've seen it happen in a couple of churches. People who have just a small position get it in their head. They get a little lust for power, or they're married to somebody that has position, and they think they have power. And they begin to think, well, this is the type of people we want. And so they've said, and I've heard, well, you just don't belong here. These aren't the people that we want. And they proceed to chase them off. Now, at the very least, people leave that congregation. But it's almost a safe bet to say that they leave Christianity completely. See, we, as the body of Christ, we reflect the love of Christ. And when we're divided with sin, that sin casts darkness over us, and they cannot see the light because it is not shining. And when we sin against the body, when we divide ourselves, we put ourselves above Jesus. When we separate ourselves from the body, we separate ourselves from the blessings of that body that God has given us. Some of those blessings are patience and love that we serve with each other. We also mutually instruct each other in God's word. We give each other encouragement. And we correct one another in sins. Sometimes we don't see ourselves. We don't see the sin that we have. And so we do need our neighbors to help point that out. And what we give up when we cause division is we give up spiritual growth and spiritual nourishment. We hurt others. And we hurt ourselves. A good example is when I write these sermons, sometimes I think, this is a really great sermon. And I have, because of my level of education at seminary, I'm supposed to give it to Pastor Joe Ferry, and he'll take a look at it. And he might make a couple corrections, and he'll send it back. Now, when I did this one, I kind of did a very big, broad picture. And he said, well, narrow it down. Well, to do that would be rewriting half the sermon. Now, I could have let my pride get to me. I could have been angry and prejudiced and said, he didn't know what he's talking about. He's from St. Louis. They don't know nothing. And I would have separated myself from Pastor Joe. And as a result, I would not grow spiritually. And I would not give you the best sermon that I could possibly give. But because I swallowed my pride and listen to Joe, and know, yes, St. Louis does know what they're talking about, I wrote even a better sermon. And so now I grew spiritually. And as a benefit to you, you're growing. You're getting the better nourishment and the better spiritual growth. But division is not new in God's people. You can see it from the book of Genesis until Revelation. There's division and all through it. When Moses was leading the Israelites in the wilderness, there was division upon division upon division, even from his own brother and sister. When Solomon died, the nation of Israel split in two because his son, who took over the throne, had pride and arrogance in his heart, and that, as a result, split the nation into two kingdoms, which was a disaster for both. Jesus dealt with personal division, even in his own disciples. They were arguing who was the greatest. The school of thought is that there was an argument for Peter and an argument for John, who was going to lead the disciples. And it was causing factions in the 12. Jesus responded with patience and love, teaching them that if you want to be the greatest, you have to be the least. And he would show them that example by being a curse on the cross. Jesus dealt with personal division when one of his own would betray him for 30 pieces of silver. Jesus, in response to that betrayal, submitted to the will of God. He became the lamb that was slaughtered on the cross to redeem the world from its sins. Jesus overcame the evils of division, including evil, sin and death and the devil. He died and rose for all of us. And because of that, we are a new creation. Here at the altar, when we partake in the Lord's Supper, the body and blood of Christ is joined with us. When we are baptized, we are washed clean of our sins, and the Holy Spirit dwells in us. God is with us. And now we can live in joyous response to God's will, serving Him and our neighbors in love. And we can do this every day by examining ourselves and drowning the old self daily in our baptism, clothing ourselves in compassion and kindness, gentleness and humility. We serve each other by being the least and not the greatest. This creates unity in the congregation as we throw the trash of sin away. We get rid of the gossip and the dissent, the grudges and the pride that divide a church. Eliminating division, the church becomes a unified congregation, body of Christ. And so when new people walk in through the door, we know that they're sinners. We know that they are looking for a Savior just as we are, and we have that. And so we don't look at them and judge them by their tattoos, their piercings, the clothes they wear, or the past that they lived. See, they're here to rid themselves of that and live a new righteous life in the body of Christ. If you were on a lifeboat when the Titanic sank, and that boat was nearly empty, and people were swimming to you, trying to be saved, you wouldn't go, "Well, we don't want you because you're upper class and you're too poor, or you're a Democrat and you're a Republican." No, we would grab them, we would haul them in, and we would care for them. And that's until rescue comes. And that's what we do in the body of Christ. We bring these people in with open arms and we care for them. We teach them and we nurture them. And we encourage them and give them hope. And they, in turn, do the same to us until Christ returns. This is how we are in the body of Christ. People who fail to look in the mirror and examine themselves bring consequences upon themselves in the body of Christ, causing division, separating themselves, hurting themselves and us. We as Christians need to examine ourselves daily so we do not create division in the church. We need to look in the mirror and see ourselves as sinners who need a Savior. And the blessings that God has, we need as well, in His Word, in His sacrament, and in the body of Christ. We depend on each other for spiritual growth, nurture, and correction. Then as a unified church, we can shine bright in the love of Christ, welcoming others with arms wide open and proclaiming together God's salvation with one voice so all can hear. And all of God's people say,
Amen.
Thank you, Chris.